Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning and afternoon. We glorify your name. We say, hallowed be thy name. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and the glory forever and ever. We declare this morning that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Let there be encouragement and a lifting up in every heart today. In Jesus' name, glorify yourself, Lord, in the message of the Lord. And let us all be glad together in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, yesterday we're talking about trusting God through the process. And I want to make this a part two of that. I'll be talking especially today on ups and downs of life and mountains and valleys. And we go through these things all the time and life is full of that. You know, there's a time for everything, the Bible says. There's a time to be up and there's a time to be down. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 1 through 8 tells us about various seasons that we may experience in life at different times. Sometimes, you know, you want to shout hallelujah. Sometimes you don't feel like shouting hallelujah. Well, you know, everything is for a time. There is night, there is day. You know, there are mountains and there are valleys. And these are things, you know, that seasons that we must pass through in life. It says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 14, in the day of prosperity, that's when you are on the mountaintop, rejoice and be joyful. But also, you know, just as surely as you are on the mountaintop one day, the day is coming and you may be down in the valley. It's called the day of adversity. What should you do? What should you consider? You know, there's a reason why God allows both of them to be side by side, he says. He said, God also has set the one over against the other. That means side by side. To the end that man should find nothing after him. In other words, you know, our source, our supply, the supply of strength and encouragement should come from him. If we are always up, we may not look to him for anything. If we are always down, we may be discouraged. You know, so, you know, it puts a balance out there. And the same balance we saw from the beginning. Let there be light, he said. But he left the darkness also in place. And I've often said that God could have eradicated the darkness forever. All he had to say was, let there be light and let the darkness be no more. That's all he had to say. But he didn't say it. He only said, let there be light. And moreover, he named the darkness night, which means has a purpose for it, by giving it a name. He named the light portion of the day, he called that day, he called that night. And from that day till now, we have cycles of night and day. So sometimes we go, you know, we're up and sometimes we're down, you know. But what do we do when we are up? Well, the scripture says in the book of James, you know, if any man is up or joyful, or Mary, let him sing psalms. You know, so when you are up and when things look like they are on the bright side and up, well, then praise the Lord and give the glory to God. You know, but what should you do when things are not looking so good? Well, it also gives us another prescription for that. You know, sometimes people, when things are not going well, instead of following God's prescriptions, you know, we sink into our own slum, so to speak, and then just do whatever we want. Some people allow depression to come over their mind. The Lord knows that those things may try to attack you. That's why he gave us prescriptions of what to do. You know, when things are not going well, You're supposed to pray. That's what he said. And is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. That's the God's prescription. James chapter 5 and verse 13. If you're afflicted, then go into prayer and come against that affliction by prayer and by the word of God. If you are merry, he said, well, sing psalms. If you are sick, well, call for the elders of the church and so on. So, you know, by God telling us all these things and giving us these prescriptions, then we know that there will be times when you may be afflicted. There will be times when you will be merry. And there'll be times when you may even be sick. Well, you know, all these things are there and he's made provision for all of it, you know, and we've got to handle it in stride. And here's a scripture, a few scriptures to encourage us and also to challenge us. You know, I like to challenge myself. And I like to challenge the people that listen to me as well. You know, that look, you know, God wants us to be strong. We talked about this yesterday. Proverbs 24 and 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, remember, there's going to be prosperity and there's going to be adversity. So in the day of prosperity, when you are rejoicing, and in the day of adversity, when you're supposed to consider, if you faint rather than consider, then your strength is little. Maybe you are not as strong as, you know, you thought. Maybe you're not as strong as the Lord wants you to be. But the Lord wants us to be strong. You know, be strong, he says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 10. Be strong, he said, in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, so not feeble. God doesn't want us to be feeble. Doesn't want us to be feeble-minded. That is, not just physically, but feeble-minded. He wants us to be strong. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, in the book of 2 Timothy, you know, again, you know, I mentioned this yesterday, 2 Timothy 2 and 13, two and three, you know, he says, you know, Paul writing to Timothy, encouraged him to endure hardness. Say, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that worreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know, I mean, they go into training, you know, special forces and different things. And they have to cut off many things and make them strong. Want to be a soldier. Want to please him that chose him to be a soldier. And then, you know, even athletes were told, you know, strive for masteries. Do a lot of things to get themselves ready. Well, you know, these are the things that we must learn. That look, there will be times that we're on the mountain. There'll be times we're in the valley. When you are in the valley, you must remember that the good times of when you were on the mountain. Sometimes when we're in the valley, it's like we can't hear God's voice, as I've said before. Well, in those times, you must remember what he told you when you are on the mountaintop. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the way I like to see it. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 30 and verse 5, sorrow may endure for a night, you know, but, you know, something good is going to happen in the morning. The day is going to break. So when we're going through the night seasons or the valleys, well, let's consider that just around the corner is going to be the break of day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read a couple of verses here, starting from verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, he calls it light affliction. Sometimes it doesn't feel very light. It feels very heavy. Well, it's light in comparison to the weight of glory. See? Now, a light affliction which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But that's only if we endure. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, the things that you don't see are more real than what you see. You know, the deliverance of the Lord that's coming to you is more real than the pain and suffering that you're going through now. Because those pain and suffering, they can't last forever. They're temporal. But what you don't see at the moment is actually more real. You know, so the things you don't see are eternal things, are more real. And we need to encourage ourselves to believe the word of God. Now, we must be, let me give you some of these statements. We must be cognizant of this thing, that it is in the valley that's where we are trained and tested and tried. So, we're talking about mountains and valleys now. In the valley is where you're trained, you're tested, and you're tried. Now, on the mountaintop is where you celebrate. So, trained, tested, and tried in the valleys, celebrate on the mountaintop. But you know, because there are many mountains, ups and downs in life, well, think about this. The journey through life, you know, because there are many mountains that you must scale, that means you can't be on top all the time. Because when you are on this mountain that you are on right now, in order for you to climb the next mountain, you have to come down from this mountain that you're on. You can't jump from the top of this mountain to that one. You come down, and then you are in the valley. And then you will walk a few miles before you get to the next mountain. And then you got to climb the next one. You know, get around it somehow. And then when you're on top of that one, again, you really have to come down in order for you to climb the next one. But you must climb every mountain. And we must get through everything, you know, by the grace of God. But you have to realize that there's always a valley between two mountains. If all mountains were joined together, you know, at the top, then the whole thing would be like a plateau. But that's not the case. You go through, you are on top, you come down, and you got to pick yourself up and climb the next one. You know, there are reasons why we have trials of faith. And 1 Peter chapter 1 explains it to us. We have these trials that we go through, you know, from time to time. You know, why? Well, you know, it is the part of the reason why, you know, God wants us to understand these things is that when we are going through, He's there with us, and these trials are to make us strong. Praise God. So, let's read some of the things that God has to say to us. The things that we need to carry with us wherever we are going, right? Carry with us whatever we are doing, the lessons that we have acquired. When you have acquired some lesson, then you use that to strengthen yourself for what's ahead. Now, if we do not learn the lesson that God wants us to learn, you know, through the situation that we're in right now, then you may have to go through it again. And sometimes when we find ourselves, you know, going through stuff, you know, more than once, well, maybe it is because we're not learning the things that we should have learned, you know, and that's why, you know, we keep going through. Now, the faith that we speak while we are on the mountaintop. One song we listened to this morning said, well, you speak faith when you are on the mountaintop. Well, that same faith ought to be with you even when you are in the valley, and even more so. You know, so, and the trials of our faith, there is a reason God allows it. Bible calls it, you know, precious. And God uses these trials to shape in us and cause us to develop even more. Now, let's read 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 7. He says, well, okay, let me start from verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, you know, though now for a season, so you see there's a season to it, if need be. Well, the need might be because you didn't learn what you need to learn, or God wants to shape you up, and he has to press you into more accurate shape. You know, remember the clay in the hand of the potter. He's got to mold you into what he wants you to be. So if need be, you might, you know, for now, be in heaviness through manifold testings, you know, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, will be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, to the end that you may receive salvation of your souls, which is the end of your faith. That's where it's supposed to lead to. So, you know, sometimes these trials and these valleys, you know, they bring the best out of us. You know, that's really the proof of your endurance, is if you go through rejoicing. But if we go through with our heads down, or we're complaining, or this and that, you know, then we haven't really become the overcomers or the more than conquerors that we should be. The psalmist, he knew how to encourage himself when he was down. And we must do the same. We've got to encourage ourselves when we're down in the valley. Psalms 42, verses 5 and 11. And also Psalm 43 and verse 5. Pretty much say the same thing. In these three verses and more, he talks about how he encouraged himself when he's down. You know, and everybody has these downer seasons. You know, sometimes you are down like that. Well, you know, see the example of how this man encouraged himself, you know, when he was down. It wasn't just going to be there bemoaning himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, he said. Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Now he's talking to his own soul. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God. And he'll call unto the Lord, you know, but also he'll speak to himself. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. And I remember all your goodness and so forth. But now look at my situation. And then he will encourage himself again. You know, and he goes through those cycles. Verse 11 says the same thing. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him with the health of my countenance and my God. He will keep on saying it to himself. Psalm 43, you know, and verse 5 says the same thing again. Why thou cast down, O my soul? And why thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him with the health of my countenance. And keeps on encouraging himself. You know, he even wrote about the troubles, all the troubles that he's had. He calls it, well, the troubles of the righteous. Psalm 34 and verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. You know, to go through many valleys, but God's going to bring you out of them. You know, the afflictions, as a young man, I used to hear this saying from my dad, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I always wondered, why? You know, why can't the righteous scale through life without afflictions? Why must he be afflicted? Shouldn't it be the wicked that should be afflicted? Why should the righteous be afflicted? Well, a lot of things I didn't know when I was younger, much younger. You know, but today, I have more understanding to know that, you know, affliction doesn't always come just because of error. Sometimes, yes. The psalmist said in Psalm 19, you know, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And, you know, but that's just one scenario. It's not, I mean, the valleys of life don't always happen just because of a problem, you know. But it may be, you know, for instance, in Psalm 119, verse 67, it makes the statement that I just referred to. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So, you know, sometimes, well, you know, like I said the other day, I said the sheep that leaves the pack will be afflicted while, you know, waiting for the shepherd to retrieve him back to the flock. You know, while you are, the sheep is out there, it'll be lost, can't find its way home, be hiding from predators, running around, maybe caught in a trap or two. I mean, all kinds of things may happen to it. You know, the shepherd will find him, but, you know, while, before he finds him, you know, he may suffer a lot of things because he went astray. Should have stayed with the pack, you know, but he went astray, stray away from the pack, you know, and the sheep, they have this nature that they don't know how to find their way back to the flock. Quite unlike a dog. I mean, you take a dog anywhere, the dog goes anywhere, they find their way back home. They know, I mean, they're built like that. They can even put trail markers along the way. You know, you say dog will stop at pee and stop at pee. They'll find their way back no matter, you know, unless they didn't go on foot, you know, but if they went on foot, they'll find their way back. They can never be lost, but not so for the sheep. It will be lost. He doesn't know his way back and he'll suffer a lot. So this verse is, well, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But that's not always the reason why affliction comes. You know, some people latch onto this as though that was the only reason. That's not the only reason. In fact, you know, during the time of Jesus, they asked him questions about that. When they saw someone who was afflicted or even born in affliction, they asked him, you know, questions. You know, like in John chapter 9, they saw a man, you know, that was born blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, this man who was born blind from his birth, I mean, whose sin was it that caused this affliction to be on him? Was it his parents? He inherited punishment of his parents' sins, or was it his own sins that he was born blind? It's a legitimate question. And Jesus has had the question. He said, look, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. So it wasn't because of that, but that the works of God may be made manifest in him. I guarantee you, this is one of the hardest things for me to have ever read in that Bible. And you might say, my goodness, this man was born blind and went through all of this for the works of God to be made manifest. I mean, the sickness, the affliction, the blindness was not the work of God. But the day he was healed and glory came to God was the work of God. But he went through all of that for that to happen. There are some things we don't understand. And you can never pretend that you understand it all. But Jesus made it clear here that this affliction that was on this man was not because of his parents' sins, nor yet his own. Yeah, so we can't say every time that we are in trouble, it's because we did something wrong. Every time bad things happen, it's because somebody did bad. And that's the way people look. People do. People are looking on the outside. The moment they see somebody going through some difficult situation, they be thinking in their head, they must have done something wrong. Otherwise, stuff should be good for them. Job didn't do anything wrong. In fact, God was bragging about him. You know, the devil. Have you seen my servant Job, that there is none like him, a man that loves God and escheweth evil and so on and so forth? And God was bragging about Job. I mean, to the point that God was even saying there is none like him. You know? And you know, so it wasn't because Job did anything wrong, but something was happening in the background that Job didn't know about. You know, so we never know the reason. But whatever the reason, your responsibility, if you find yourself in the valley, is don't stay down for the count. That's right. Pick yourself up like David did and encourage yourself in the Lord and get back up and get on with the journey. See, but there are more mountains to climb. Find yourself in this valley. Maybe you climbed one before. Now you're in the valley. Well, you got to get up and climb the next mountain. You got to keep going. Praise the Lord. You got to climb every mountain. And we have assurance that the things that we face in life, they cannot get us down. But they have the tendency of, and they have the capacity to get us down if we let them. And David, he knew how to address those situations. There's this very story I like of David in Ziklag in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I've referred to it a few times. He lost it, what it seemed like everything. You know, while fighting for the Philistines, you know, the Amalekites came in there and, you know, stole his wives and children and all the people that were with him away. Burned everything down. Thankfully, they didn't kill any of the people. But they carried them away captive. Whereupon, when they came back, David and all the men were with him. They saw that everything had gone. And they wept until they had no strength within themselves to weep again. And that must have been some great lamentations. And David himself was distressed because of his wife and children and everything. And even the people, you know, were murmuring against him and they wanted to stone him. Because they said, look, it's because of you that all of this came upon us. I mean, you dragged us into a fight that wasn't even our own. You know, look at what has happened to us now. But we're told in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Part of that kind of encouragement is what we see in Psalm 42 and Psalm 45. And when he encouraged himself in the Lord, he went to the Lord and asked of God, now all of this evil that are befalling me, Lord, shall I pursue? And will I recover my family and all the things that the devil has taken from me? The Lord said, yeah, pursue, and you will surely recover. Hallelujah. All. You will recover all. And you know, he had to get himself together, bestir himself, and, you know, strengthening himself for the task ahead of recovering all. Now, sometimes we may be down in the valley through some error that we made, you know, like going astray. The sheep that goes astray, he will suffer a few things, for the shepherd finds him. Or it may be the devil that sheep shot you. You know, whatever the case is, you find yourself down. Or it may just be happenings of life, ups and downs of life, as we have read. It's a time to be up. There's a time to be down. There's a time, you know, to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to sow, a time to, reap, a time to sow, a time to rend, a time to laugh, a time to cry. You know, first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So it could be one of those seasons, you know, that you're on. What are you going to do, though? Well, some examples that we saw in the Bible. David was one of them. Habakkuk was another. When Habakkuk lost everything, you know, some people say, well, I've lost my investment. I've lost my job. I've lost this. I've lost that. You know, well, what do you do? Some people even lost their marriage. They lost their home. They lost this. They lost that. You know, what are you going to do when you find yourself in situations like that? Some things might have been preventable, perhaps if we used wisdom. But nevertheless, here's where you are now. And then what must you do when you find yourself in situations like this? Habakkuk, we don't know whether it was the spoiler that spoiled all, you know, his ventures. But he went through a situation when, you know, he might have had nothing left, you know. And listen to the way he talks about it in Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. Shall be no herd in the stalls. I mean, this is, you talk about a low season where nothing is happening, nothing going on, losing everything. These are all the things that could be producing revenue, but everything's cut off. You say, well, what am I going to do? Well, you say, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. You know, so this man chose to separate his afflictions from his praise and his worship. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm not going to let the devil get me down with these things. I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord is God, is my strength. And he will yet make my feet like hinds feet. He will yet make me to walk upon my high places. That's right. You may be down in the valley now, but yeah, he's going to make you come up on the mountaintop. But there is a portion of this that belongs to you as your responsibility, is your posture and your response. That's your responsibility. The promise of God is sure, but what's your responsibility? Well, your responsibility is to make up your mind that you're not going to let the devil get you down or keep you down. Might get you down, but you're not going to stay down. You know, you heard me say that multiple times. Don't stay down for the count. And that was the response of Micah. As you've heard many times in Micah 7 and verse 8, his response was exactly that. A devil knocked him down. And it's like he's in darkness. So, you know, again, it's a good example of light and darkness. Mountains and valleys. You know, so there were times when this Micah fellow was on a roll and everything was good. But one time, he said, the devil knocked him down. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. Micah 7 and 8. For when I fall, I shall arise. And so he's strengthening himself that, look, I'm not going to stay down for the count. Even when I sit in darkness. When I sit in darkness, I will remember the days of light. I will remember what God spoke to me when I was in the light. The psalmist said, look, I will remember thee from the land, you know, of Jordan. I will remember, you know, from the hill Mizpah, what you have done for me in the past. I will remember even when I'm going through this dark time now. You know, and it seems as if the voice of God is nowhere. I will remember what he spoke to me before when I was in the light. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Oh, how? Well, the word of the Lord. You know, the word of the Lord will be that light. Psalm 119, verse 105. That word will lighten the situation where you are, and it will give you even hope ahead. It's a lamp unto your feet right now, and it's a light to the path ahead. You take that word and remember what the Lord already spoke to you, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Holy Spirit bringing these things to your remembrance while you are in the dark. The word of the Lord will be a light unto you. Hallelujah. And you must strengthen yourself. And Isaiah 52 verse 2 tells you what your responsibilities are while you are in the valley. When you are down and the enemy is gloating over you. And people say, where is your God? And all things like that. The devil will say it too. Because the devil always likes to paint us a picture of God not, you know, holding on to his integrity. You want to make us doubt God's integrity. You know, that's what it was about from the beginning. Has God said? I mean, he didn't mean that. He meant something else. He knew something else. And that's why he said it, you know, basically, you know, calling God a liar. He said, look, he knew you would be wise and he doesn't want you to be wise. So he told you something else. You know, all of these things he would say, try to deceive the woman. And she fell for it. Now, here's your responsibility if you find yourself in the valley. Isaiah 52 and verse 2 says, well, you've got to shake yourself from the dust and loose yourself from the bands around your neck. Now, that sounds to me like self-deliverance. It doesn't sound to me like you're waiting for your pastor, you're waiting for someone to speak life into you. You do it for yourself. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down. O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. O captive daughter of Zion. I mean, God is challenging us to bestir ourselves. And not stay down, you know, in misery and so on. You know, shake these things from yourself. You've got power within. Hallelujah. Use the word of God. Encourage yourself. That's our responsibility when we're in the valley. Our responsibility when we're on the mountaintop is to, you know, praise the Lord. Shout the victory. Say, if you are married, then sing psalms and give glory to God. You know, and remember, you know, not to be boastful or arrogant, because God is able also to resist, and he will, the proud. You know, so when you are up, be up. And when you are down, get up. See, that's the thing. When you are up, remain up. You know what brings people down from up most of the time? Well, okay, there are cycles. And we know that. But sometimes pride will bring somebody from up to down. Pride was what brought Lucifer down. The Bible says that he was the cherub that covereth. You know, but when pride, say, until the day that pride entered into his heart. You know, and then God said, I'll cast you down. In his heart, he wanted, you know, to be in our ascent to the sides of the north, I will do this, I will do that, and so forth. And not acknowledging God who put him there. So God cast him down. You know, pride is a destiny killer, you know, an assignment killer. Pride can kill the assignment, the purpose of God in your life very quickly, unless we repent. That's why Jesus used to tell the churches, in Revelation 2 and 3, repent, 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 and do the first works and so on. You know, we must repent. You know, pride can get in there. I knew of a woman once. She came to our church when we first started, the very first building, many years ago. And she didn't stay very long, but she did come. I was speaking to her one day, and she was telling her story. And she said that she used to be a millionaire. And I said, what happened? And she told the story. She was doing very well. She was in business. She was in this. She was in that. And she called herself a millionaire. She didn't look at all like a millionaire when I saw her. But she looked like an ordinary run-of-the-mill person. She had lost everything. And I said, what happened? She said, well, pride entered into my heart. Her own very words. And I said, wow, what do you mean? She told me certain things. I said, wow, you know. And from her own mouth, I encouraged her to pick herself up. But from her own mouth, you know, she said it. Pride brought her down from the mountain. I said, wow, you know. So pride bring you down from the mountain. On the other hand, fear will keep you in the valley. That's right. So the devil likes to use fear to keep you in the valley. You know, whereas the Lord says, be not afraid. The devil will try to pull fear upon you. You know, fear on the unknown. Can I make it? Can I ever get out of here? You know, unbelief and all these negative things will keep you in the valley. You know, but you've got to shake yourself. Remember, there is a process. Today's process lesson is about mountains that you must climb. And in between each mountain, you must, you know, traverse the valleys. You know, because you can't jump from one mountain to another. You climb this one, you come down, you climb the next one, and so on. And you keep climbing. You know, and you know, just like the flight of stairs, the Lord showed me that parable one time. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like you have to climb a lot of stairs. And as you're climbing these stairs, there's a landing. And in my own house, you know, between two floors, you know, I have a flight of stairs. There's a little landing in between. You go up six steps, there's a landing, and then the stairway turns in the, you know, 90 degrees, you know, and then you climb a few more steps and then you're up there. So in that landing, when you get there, you must pick something up. It's part of the parable. And I noticed that what they are picking up is like, you know, little jewels. And the journey to get to that landing is going to be rough. And when you get to that landing, you pick up the jewels and say, I've landed. It may not be just six steps. It may be a lot. There's just six in my house. It could be a lot to get there. And just about when you think, I got here, and you pick up the jewel, then you look up and you find out there's more stairs to climb. Oh my goodness. His journey is not over. You haven't arrived. And you got to climb some more. And you start to climb. And then you drop something that you just picked up. And oh my goodness. You can't proceed. The rule is you got to go back and get it. And that's a parable of the kingdom. You know, I told me. So, you know, sometimes you got to go back and get that thing because you did, you know, you didn't hold on to it. And spiritual maturity demands that we hold on to whatever it is that we got before. Not cast them away, but build upon it. And how must we build upon it? Well, you know, I mean, you know, Second Peter chapter 1 writes about this. He said, you know, and besides these, you know, Second Peter 1 and verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith. You can't cast away your faith. You already acquired faith. That's good. For by faith are you saved, you know. You can't, you know, you cannot be saved except by faith. So you've got the faith, you've been saved, that's good. Then add some more to that. Add to faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge temperance. Add to temperance patience. Add to patience godliness. Add to brother, you know, and so on. You got to keep adding. You cannot, you know, throw one away in order to acquire another virtue. No. You keep what you already acquired and you gain more. Likeness of God. You can't throw any part away. So if you lose anything, if you drop any, you got to go back and get it. Praise the Lord. So showed me the parable. And you can never, and you're climbing those stairs and you never see the end of it. It's like, whoa. Every time you get to a landing and you thought, that's it. Yeah, I'm there. And you looking at your jewels. You've got a bag full of them or so that you picked up along the way. And just about when you think you are there, you look up and you see there are more stairs to climb. Oh my goodness. You know, and that's the journey of life. That's how it is. And you got to keep climbing. And don't drop anything, because if you do, you're going to have to go back and get it. You know, so these are our responsibilities. Hold on to what you got and add to it. But also hold on to God's unchanging hands throughout the thing, and trust God through the process to get you there, you know. And the same God that spoke to you while you are on the mountain, he will be with you when you are in the valley. He will get you there. The voice, the word that came to you when you are in the light, remember it when it seems as if you are in darkness, because that's what Micah said. So when I'm in the darkness, his word will be a light unto me. I will remember him. So the Lord will be a light to me through his word. For the word of God is a light to the path ahead. And I look things like, right now looks like, oh, well, you know, how do I get there? Well, go to the word. He will shine the light on your ways. Hallelujah. Scripture says the Lord will shine the light on your ways. He will shine that light. Yeah, and that's why we must always ask him, Lord, lead me and I will follow. You know, show me where you want me to go. And lead me, you know, to the rock that is higher than me. And show me thy way everlasting. I mean, this is, you know, the prayer that the Lord wants us to pray. But you hold on, you hold on, you hold on. You don't give up and you don't give in. Praise the Lord. In the book of Job chapter 22, let's read about, you know, the light shining upon your ways. There's a lot of things that we will get you there. You know, it starts out by you acquainting yourself with the Lord through the word of God and the Holy Spirit that's encouraging you as you're going through life and life's difficulties and challenges. Well, acquaint yourself. Don't draw yourself away from God. You know, some people, when they're going through, that's when they go and hide their head in shame or something. No. Draw closer to the Lord. Acquaint now thyself with the Lord and be at peace. You know, that's what Job says. Now let's read a portion of it. Praise the Lord. Job 22 verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Or I should say, thereby good shall return unto thee. So when you are in the valley and when it seems like everything is cut off, well, do this and good shall return unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. Well, remember what the Holy Spirit has already spoken. Go back to it. Lay up his words in your heart. You know, when you are in darkness, it seems like, remember what he already told you while you are in the light. And call those things back to remembrance, and he will help you. So he will bring those things to your remembrance. And if you return to the Almighty, Don't stay there in the land of, in no man's land. You know, return to the Almighty. Then you will be built up again, as you put. Put away iniquity and put away grumbling and transgression. You know, because people grumble, you know, when bad things happen. Grumble, grumble, grumble. That's what the children of Israel did all the time. Every time they faced difficulties, they grumbled. Put that away from your tabernacles. Well, if you do that, then you lay up gold as dust. The gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. The Almighty will be your defense. Hallelujah. And you have plenty of silver even. He will bring restoration to your finances as you trust in Him. Then shall thou have thy delight in the Almighty. Lift up thy face unto God. Make your prayer unto Him, and He shall hear thee. And remember to pay your vows. You know, people say, Lord, if you do this, I will do that. Well, and the Lord does that, and they forget to do the other. You know, don't make any vows that you are not going to keep. Pay your vows. You say, Lord, get me out of this problem. I will do this. Well, He'll get you out of it. But don't fail to do the thing that you promised. And if you do everything right, then the word of the Lord is in your mouth again. Hallelujah. Thou shalt also make a decree. It will be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon your ways again. You know, you decree yourself out of the valley. You keep on decreeing. You use the word of God. Say, you know, the Lord said, I'll be head and not tail. And I'm not going to sit in darkness. The Lord said to me that, you know, he that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, shall have the light of life. John 8 and 12. You begin to declare these things. Decree your way out of it. You know, and then, well, when the Lord has established you, then you, you know, be a lifter upper for others. That's what Jesus said to Peter. The devil has desired to have you and sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. And when you are strengthened, well, or converted, strengthen your brethren. You know, so when the Lord has pulled you out, you now have a testimony that when others are cast down, you become a lifter upper for them. Huh? Because the Lord has brought you through. Praise the Lord. And the Lord, you have a testimony, you know, that can help to save others because of the experience that you yourself, the Lord, have brought you through. Praise God. So, you know, I wanted to bring that angle as part of, you know, the process that we must go through. You know, this journey, it's a lot of things that we must go through. But along the way, we need to develop ruggedness, you know, and ruggedness for the journey. And that you need to strengthen yourself with the word of God always. And let's not, you know, put ourselves out there as feeble. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. In other words, don't be feeble in your minds. That's actually what that expression means. It doesn't mean give up. It means exactly the opposite. You know, be strong. You know, be strong in the Lord. That's right. You know, so that's our encouragement again for you today. It is time for us to be like, you know, people who know their God. That's right. Daniel 11:32. People that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You know, so let's be like those that know our God. Let's not be, you know, the people that the devil can, you know, push around. No. You know, he that is with us is greater than he that is without. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse 9, I just want to read this just in case you're wondering, you know, what quit ye like men really means. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, in you know, he uses that phrase, but 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse 9 will help you to understand it better. See, the Philistines, every time that the Jews defeated them, they bestir themselves. You know, you can't, these people, you beat them up, they strengthen and come back again, you know, and so forth. And they said to one another, be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines. You know, so, you know, it's about being strong. It's not about giving up. That phrase is an old phrase, which means be strong. You know, be not ye servants to the Hebrews. You know, don't let them be bossing you around. Quit yourselves. You know, quit ye like men. Be strong. And so forth. You know, that's what they were saying. And so that's what that phrase means. It does not mean that we should quit or give up. I wanted to explain that in case somebody was confused. It actually means that you should be strong in the Lord and don't let the devil have an advantage over you. Don't be servants to the Hebrews as they've been to you. Quit yourself like men and fight. You know, so you get up and fight. That's what that means. Praise the Lord. And the Philistines, they fought. And Israel was smitten. See, Israel was gaining the upper hand. But these people, they encouraged them. They said, no, don't let them bully you around. You know, you had the upper hand before. Now get up and be strong, every one of you, and fight. See, they did. You know, and they got the victory. So you yourselves also fight, and the Lord will give you victory. Praise the Lord. So we wrap up these lessons of holding on through the process here. And the process that we're going, the journey, is not always mountains. You know, sometimes people say they're out on cloud nine. Well, that's great. But, you know, what about what your reaction when you're in the valley? You know, so if you can only rejoice and can only praise the Lord when things are good, then you are still a baby, you know. So, you know, a grown-up person knows how to, you know, take a licking and keep on ticking. That's right, you know. Sometimes you fall, but you got to get up and keep on going. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is able to make you stand. That's it. You hold on to him. You trust him through the process. He's able to make you stand and able to give you victory. And the end of it all, no matter how it is now, in Job chapter 42, verse 10, we read this. It said, those of you who have read the stories of Job, well, how was it in your eyes when you read these things? It said, the Lord turned his captivity. He began to pray for his friends. That's a good lesson too. You know, when you pray for others, even those that say this and that against you, pray for them. The Lord will remember you too. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had. You know, and the Lord, he turned everything around. Praise God. And he gave him twice as much as he had before. Hallelujah. But you got to hold on to God and never let, you know, the devil get you down. You heard, you know, even the afflictions of Job. You heard how he was afflicted even before, you know, without he, not that he did anything wrong, you know, but now you can also see the end of the matter. In the book of James, chapter 5, talking to us about patience through afflictions. I'm going to end this lesson with that one. It talks about, it reminds us of the story of Job. This one we just read, part of it. How at the end of it all, the Lord recovered and gave many things. Hallelujah. Unto him. You know, be patient. Be patient. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. You know, be patient when you are going through tribulations. Be patient. He said, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, James 5:11. And we have seen the end of the Lord in the matter, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy, and he will never forsake you. So while you're going through, remember that he will give you victory at the last. Father, I pray once again for your people. I pray for encouragement and grace for us to understand that life is full of these ups and downs. And while we are up, we give you the praise and glory for it. While we are down, we look up to you and we hold on to your unchanging hand, knowing that sorrow may endure only for the night, but joy must come in the morning. I pray, Lord, that as we go through, you'll be encouraged and strengthened with might in our inner man, and to be rugged, to be able to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I know, Lord, that you said we must, through, many afflictions, enter into the kingdom of God. May the Lord grant us the grace not to faint, but embrace the journeys of life with courage, because we know the Holy Spirit will be with us and the Lord will never leave us. Thank you, Father. Strengthen every hand. Let the hands be lifted up that are down now, Lord. Let the heads be lifted up that are bowed down. Let the knees receive strength that have been feeble. And let the darkness, let it turn into light in the name of Jesus. Say, sorrow shall be turned into joy. And Father, let us remember that you are, even while we are going through valleys, that you are the same God of the mountain that was with us on the mountain. He'll be with us while we're down the valley, and he will bring us through and bring us out of it. Give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.